yield myself to you, Holy Spirit, to speak through me as an oracle of God. That God would be glorified in everything that's said and done in this place. Thank you for the hearers. Thank you for faith to increase in your people. Thank you for the resurrection, Lord. For new life in you tonight. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us with new life, a new beginning, a new outlook, a new vision. All things become new. All things pass away. Thank you, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Melt me and mold me. Hallelujah. Mold us all together tonight so we can be molded more into your image. Hallelujah. And we just praise you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've made. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Just greet someone before you're seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a time of year we're living in. New life. Spring. We just sprung forward last week, right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And we're not going to fall back. We're going to press on. All of us together. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Running the course that's set before us. Hallelujah. No detours. No distractions. The Bible tells us we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen? He's a deceiver. He comes as an angel of light. He's a liar. Whatever he's told you today that's contrary to the word of God, just cast it down in Jesus' name. He told you you can't make your bills this month, cast it down in Jesus' name. Replace it with the word of God. Hallelujah. My God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. Standing on the word of God. Having done all to stand therefore. Having your loins girded about with truth. Having on a breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And watch and pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Whoo! God's in this place tonight. I'm just excited about what God's doing in the world today. What the Lord's doing in the earth today. I'm so excited. We just got back from Atlanta, Georgia on Sunday night about 11 o'clock. I'm calling this sermon tonight, Blitzing the City. If you look in your bulletin every week, it has city blitzes. Well, we blitzed one city this week. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, we blitzed Thunder Bay, Ontario. Hallelujah. We had a Holy Ghost blitz in Atlanta. We rush on the city. We run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word. Hallelujah. We just carried out his word. A lot of distractions. We didn't get there till 8 o'clock at night. Originally, our plane was supposed to leave at 9 o'clock in the morning. We didn't leave till 3:30 in the afternoon. But God redeemed the time anyway. Everybody that went on the trip said, man, it seems like we've been here a week. God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. And we abounded with blessings, I want to tell you. I'm going to just have a couple people share testimonies tonight. Before I really get into the word, I want Jerry Daniels to come forward here. I believe there's a microphone back here. Like I said, we didn't get there till 8 o'clock, and is Jerry Daniels here tonight? Praise the Lord. We just had so much fun. You know, you always get hungry when you travel. They don't give you but pretzels and peanuts on the plane. So we were going out to eat, and Jerry will tell you the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey.
God is faithful, and he did redeem our time. After we finally arrived at the motel, it was pretty late, and we decided we were going to go out, get a bite to eat, and we just agreed that God would send large groups and stuff to help make up that time to us. So as we were walking down the street, there was a city bus with a bunch of students in about like 9th or 10th grade that were sitting on there, and Pastor Nick looked over at me and goes, "Why don't you get up on there and share the gospel?" I was about to step out of my comfort zone, and I got up on the bus, and first we all joined hands, and we prayed and asked God for their souls, and that I would have boldness, and so then I got up on the bus, and I asked the bus driver if it would be okay if I shared about Jesus with these students, and he said, "Well, you'll have to ask the teacher." So I got off the bus and found the teacher, and I asked her if it would be okay if I shared Jesus with the students, and she said, "I've been trying to tell these kids that the whole way down here." So got back on the bus, and the bus driver just immediately handed me the microphone. And I just told the kids, I just said that you could have knowing in your heart for sure that heaven will be your home. And that if they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior and believe that from their heart, that they would be saved tonight. And a couple of the gals that were with me were handing out tracts while I was sharing. And all of the kids very boldly and very loudly confessed and asked Jesus into their hearts.
Yeah.
There was 35 kids on the bus. And I turned around to the bus driver and I said, "Do you know for sure that heaven would be your home someday?" And he said, "Yeah, 4 years ago I gave my life to the Lord."
Yeah.
And we got off the bus and everybody was waving and praising God, and as the bus pulled off, on the back of the bus driver, his plate said Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The next night, as we were coming back, I believe he had a real blessed trip going home, because he saw us the next night and he tooed the horn and waved at us as we were heading back toward the motel.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody else that went on that trip to Atlanta, would you stand up? Everybody that went on that trip? Why don't you girls just come up here? Yeah, we had, thank God, Brother Steve Roggenbuck was with me. There was eight women I had to attend with. This is four of the eight. I would say they're crazy, but you weren't crazy eights. You were really a blessing. What happened to you on this trip? Just share just a minute or two.
I was so blessed. I can't even express it in my own words or anything. We had such beautiful people that we witnessed to, and they were just so open to God and everything. A lot of people would, you know, I asked them if they know for sure if they can go to heaven someday, and, you know, they didn't know for sure, so I shared on the track and everything. And this one person said that they believed in God, but they didn't know that that God had a son named Jesus. And so he prayed with me, and as he prayed, he lifted his hands up to God, and he needed a healing in his body, and just God just really touched him. And it was just so awesome. I just praise God for the anointing that went through each and every one of us to touch these people's lives. And I was believing God that at the airport there was these three guys in the what is it called? Like the little restaurant thing, and there's three black guys there, and well, there wasn't a chance to witness to them at that time, so I knew I was going to go back, and I knew that God was going to save these people. And so I went back to go get a refill on my drink. And I asked them, well, I gave them the track before that, and I said, well, can I share that track that I gave you about 15 minutes ago? I gave you a track, and Would you like to say this prayer with me? So all three guys prayed with me.
Yes, hallelujah.
This is so awesome.
Fill them up.
I went with a fractured rib and this.
You got healed as you went, right?
And I got healed.
Don't fall over.
I know I did.
Don't fall over. So what happened to you on the trip? That's what happened to her. She was a helper of our joy in all circumstances. You want to say something?
The greatest blessing on this trip was unity and love among our team. It was incredible. It was just a totally incredible experience. We had to call back home and get hold of a pastor and some prayer people. We had some warfare, and they prayed it through. We felt it. They prayed we'd have a tangible anointing down there. We all felt it, and it was way awesome. Amen. And I'm going to let the rest of my team share. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
I was blessed beyond measure. I enjoyed it from beginning to end, regardless of the warfare. And I recommend anybody to go. Nick will take care of you. You don't have to worry about anything at all. He takes care of us. He had a job with 8 months.
Thank God for his grace.
But he did it. Amen. What blessed me the most was Saturday evening. We were headed towards the hotel, and there was a lady that looked like she was possibly 70, 80 years old. And she had a grocery cart full of pop cans. And Nick talked to her and led her to the Lord. And she was so overcome with joy that she cried. And we were just all felt so led to hug her. And we all hugged her. And it was such a blessing. But that night, the Lord woke me up about 4:15. And he says, when you touched her, when you hugged her, when you hugged them, you hugged me. And that blessed me.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. So it didn't make any difference if Judy was snoring or not.
Is this your first trip that you went on?
Yes, my first trip, and what a blessing.
Yeah.
There's something that changed my life forever. And being it was my first trip, and I prayed for boldness, and I was kind of nicknamed John the Baptist, so I guess I got it. But there was one particular man, and I prayed with him. I was just drawn by the Spirit to this man, and I kept telling him, confess from the mouth, Lord Jesus, and ask him into his heart. And he kept nodding in agreement the whole time I prayed. And I walked away, and I knew that he had been saved. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ was his Savior. And I said, what, Lord? Because this yearning to go back to him was so strong. And I said, but Lord, he didn't confess from his mouth. And Jesus said, he can't speak. And I just went and I grabbed two of my team at that point were these two women. And I went back to Judy and I said, he can't speak, but I know he's saved. And she said, bring me to him. And he was filled with the Spirit. We laid hands on him. And the man, as we were praying, just grabbed his head. The fire of the Spirit just shot through. Yeah. And his ears, he couldn't hear. His ears were restored and his
hallelujah.
Speech came.
Hallelujah!
I mean, it was...
Hallelujah!
I mean, this is, the warfare. And then this was just, he has just changed my life.
Hallelujah.
And then there was one other man, this is real quick. He was like wandering around the wilderness down in Atlanta for 8 days, not knowing why. And he walked by and he said something. And I said, well, I have something free for you. And I prayed with him and he took in the Lord and he changed. And we prayed for healing. And Nick was inside, and he was just blessed, you know. The next day, I saw this man kind of down the sidewalk, and I was going to go run to him and, you know, give him the Lord, you know. But he looked so happy, he could barely touch the ground. He was just walking in such spirit, and it was that man.
Hallelujah.
And what had happened was he was wandering around. He had gotten stranded there. He needed to go home, and he needed like $600 to go home. Well, that next day, he had gotten a hold of a friend, and the friend said, "I don't know, God put on my heart, here's your plane ticket to go home."
Hallelujah.
So he had tracked us down to give us that testimony that God had laid that all out for him. It has changed our life. It was a true blessing.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, what he's doing. We just had so much fun. A brother told me one time, Christians, they shouldn't be allowed to have so much fun. Roxanne Sheehan, I don't know if you know her, but she's a blessing. She's been going out on the streets in Minneapolis for years, and we call her the Queen of the Jungle over in Peru. I don't think she's here tonight, but she was such a blessing to me. She was on my team, and we're down in this one place, they call it the Underground in Atlanta. The weather was real cold. I heard the day before we went, it was like 80 degrees, so I brought like four pairs of shorts and, you know, all short sleeves, shirts and everything. Most of us dressed accordingly. Well, we got down there, and I think the wind chill on Saturday was 36 degrees when we woke up. But you know, the Bible, there is a way that God makes for all of us. Amen? So they had a subway system. That's where the majority of these people got born again. They got on a Holy Ghost train to heaven. Hallelujah. It was so much fun just going from train to train, from stop to stop, telling people about the love of God. Anyway, we're down before we got off the train. We walked to this place called the Underground. They got all these food shops and everything. We went up there and they got these tarot card readers. And they charge people $10 to have them read their future. So I decided, bless God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I went over and I stood right behind these people. And Roxanne was there too. This one woman walks up to Roxanne and says, "You got to get out of here. You can't stay around here." See, they were losing business when we were standing around there. In fact, they lost their business to God. I turned around and said, "I can tell you your future. You can know your future tonight." We ended up praying with five people right by these people to get born again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. Devil says, "Don't go over there." No, you can't go over there. Tries to put fear on you. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Roxanne looked at that lady, and if you know Roxanne, she goes, "I'm not going no place." Someone else, they told her that she couldn't use the name of Jesus down there. You know how crazy the devil is? I walked up to someone, I had a tract in my hand, I said, "Hey, can I give you some good news?" And she goes, "I believe in saving paper." And I said, "Have you ever written a letter?" She goes, "I don't want to get into it." That's how crazy the devil is, I'm telling you. Oh, yeah. She must have written a letter, I'm sure. She was pretty upset at me. I wonder if she ever cashed her paycheck. Oh, we had fun, I'm telling you. We had a vision to pray with 400 people, with 10 people. We ended up praying with 500 people to get saved. To God be the glory. More than we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. See, you and I have power working in us. The more you exercise that power, the stronger it gets. That anointing increases. God wants to add to us daily. That anointing increases. We're living in the last days of time. I was going to talk a little bit about revival tonight. I probably will. I brought this book. It's called The Passion for Souls. I bought it in Living Words Bookstore. It's really a good book. I don't know if you've read it. But there is one part in here. You want revival in your life? I'm just going to read you a few things that are obstacles to revival. And listen to this. Number one, have we forgiven everyone? This is an obstacle to having revival. Is there any malice, spite, hatred, or enmity in our hearts? Do we cherish grudges and have we refused to be reconciled? Do we get angry? Are there any uprisings within? Is it true that we still lose our temper? Does wrath hold us at time in its grip? Is there any feeling of jealousy? When another is preferred before us, does it make us envious? Do we get jealous of those who can pray, speak, and do things better than we can? Do we get impatient and irritated? Do little things vex and annoy? Or are we sweet, calm, and unruffled under all circumstances? Are we offended easily? When people fail to notice us and pass by with us without speaking, does it hurt? If others are made much of and we are neglected, how do we feel about it? Is there any pride in our hearts? Are we puffed up? Do we think a great deal of our own position and attainments? Have we been dishonest? Is our business open and above reproach? Do we give a yard for a yard and a pound for a pound? Have we been gossiping about people? Do we slander the characters of others? Are we tale bearers and busybodies? Do we criticize unlovingly, harshly, severely? Are we always finding fault and looking for the flaws in others? Do we rob God? Have we stolen time that belongs to Him? Has our money been withheld? Are we worldly? Do we love the glitter, the pomp, and the show of this life? Have we stolen? Do we take little things that do not belong to us? Do we harbor a spirit of bitterness toward others? Is there hatred in our hearts? Are our lives filled with lightness and frivolity? Is our conduct unseemly? Would the world by our actions consider us on its side? Have we wronged anyone and failed to make restitution? Or has the spirit of Zacchaeus possessed us? Have we restored the many little things that God has shown us? Are we worried or anxious? Do we fail to trust God for our temporal and spiritual needs? Are we continually crossing bridges before we come to them? Are we guilty of immorality? Do we allow our minds to harbor impure and unholy imaginations? Are we true in our statements, or do we exaggerate and thus convey false impressions? Have we lied? Are we guilty of the sin of unbelief? In spite of all He has done for us, do we still refuse to believe His word? Do we murmur and complain? Have we committed the sin of prayerlessness? Are we intercessors? Do we pray? How much time are we spending in prayer? Have we crowded prayer out of our lives? Are we neglecting God's word? How many chapters do we read each day? Are we Bible students? Do we draw our source of supply from the scriptures? Have we failed to confess Christ openly? Are we ashamed of Jesus? Do we keep our mouths shut closed when we're surrounded by worldly people? Are we witnessing daily? Are we burdened for the salvation of souls? Have we a love for the lost? Is there any compassion in our hearts for those who are perishing? Have we lost our first love and are we no longer on fire for God? These are just some of the obstacles to stop revival in our lives. I mean, this book is awesome. Hallelujah. Thank God for godly books. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for godly books that reprove us, correct us, chasten us. It really touched my heart when I read that today. You know, sometimes you think you're so super spiritual. Amen. And you start reading some of these little things. Hallelujah. But I just thought I'd share those tonight. Pretty good. God wanted me to share those. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Yes, we are living. It's almost Easter. What a time of year this is. Easter. What He did for all of us when He went to the cross. The Bible says He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible said if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleansed us and washed us from our sins. Thank God for His obedience. Thank God He didn't say, no, Lord, I don't want to go. Not my will, but Thine be done, Lord. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't He? Just think of what He did for us. I mean, I just started weeping tonight when I was thinking about what He did for me. The time of year that we're living in. I thank God someone talked to me about the love of God. They told me about Jesus. You know, it's not just in Atlanta. It's not just on mission trips. It's everyday life. You run into people all over the world. They're perishing for lack of knowledge. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I was 25 years old when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. I went to church all my life. But I was perishing for lack of knowledge. I was sprinkled as an infant. I was confirmed when I was 13 years old, but I didn't have the knowledge that I could be born again. There's so many people around us every day in our lives. Oh, they believe in God, but so does the devil. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and a salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not afraid to walk up to a Jewish person and tell them about the love of God. Hallelujah. All they can say is yes or no. But you still plant a seed in their heart. We're co-laborers together. We can blitz our city. You know, I was thinking tonight, before I came in here, I just thought, you know, this might be the last time I ever stand in this pulpit at this church. We're going to be in a new building in 4 or 5 weeks. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. We're moving on up. So I just count it a privilege to be able to share the word tonight, to stand here. Since 1983 or 84, November we moved in here? 84, November of 84. Been here. Been here, done that. Now we're going to go move on to a higher level. Another level in God. And I tell you what, we're going to be like a locomotive. Hallelujah. We got to fire up our engines and get ready to take this gospel to our lost and dying world. There's so many people, they're lost. They're dying. They're going to hell. They think they're okay. They went to church on Sunday. We meet them all the time. I go to church. Most people don't go to church but twice a year, Christmas and Easter. The churches will be filled this weekend. People will have their bonnets. Ladies, beautiful bonnets. Praise God for bonnets. I remember I used to worry about what I'd wear to church, even as a kid growing up. There was such a, you know, I had to, God loves you just the way you are. Amen. He does clean us up. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. But Brother John, he's a fisherman. He leads people to the Lord all the time, wherever he goes. He comes down to their level. I remember Jerry Savelle one time, he shared that he loved auto racing. He loves cars. He goes to Indianapolis 500. He used to be a mechanic or whatever and paint cars and everything else. He had something in common with people that he could sit down and talk to them. Hallelujah. And then he'd come in there with the gospel. Every one of us have a testimony. All of us have a testimony. No matter where you came from, you have a testimony. I don't care if you were brought up as a little grasshopper in the ways of the Lord. Amen? You have a testimony. Thank God you didn't have to go through some of the stuff other people had too. That's a testimony in itself. Some people say, well, I don't have a testimony like you, brother. I never drank a beer in my life. Well, I never smoked drugs. I never did this. I never stole anything. I never did that. Well, praise God you didn't. Thank God you didn't. I wish I didn't. But thank God for the blood. You know, when we were singing that song tonight about the blood, the Lord spoke to me that there's people in this room right now, you're fighting a blood disease. I don't know who that might be, but if it's you, I want you to stand up right now. Anybody here, a blood disease of any type that you know of. You know, sometimes there's... Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. I have to be obedient to what the Lord... Thank you. The Lord told me to call this out. Praise God. His timing's right. I want those people to come forward. I'm just going to pray for him. I want you in the congregation to stand in agreement with me. Hallelujah. Yeah, you're going to stand in agreement with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Any type of blood disease. It's under the blood. The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.